I do love this crucifix, this cross, because of its rough edges and its sharp points, and its sort of tarnishing on the side and its holes. It's just not perfect, right, at all. It's got sort of dings and blemishes everywhere on it. And it's in contrast to most of the crosses that we see elsewhere. Typically, we see the really beautiful, shiny brass ones, or maybe we even have some that are ornate with various jewels on them, etc. And to sort of get an understanding of the cross, of the crucifixion, I saw a modern day look of one. And it was Jesus. He was a shorter man with a beard and a darker complexion, just like someone you'd expect from the first century Palestine. And he was sitting in a clear wooden chair. And this chair was plain and it looked like an old school desk. His arms and his legs lay lifeless with straps on either side of them, holding him in the chair. His crown of thorns had been replaced by a tin bowl that had long wires coming out of him. His body was just about to receive 3 jolts of electricity, 2,500 volts, followed by 2,000 volt romps. This was indeed the image of Jesus in an electric chair, as you probably already realized, because for the Roman Empire, crucifixion was the punishment that is most akin to the death penalty for us through the electric chair, or even lethal injection. In other words, to take it a little more lighthearted and in the darker humor, I saw a cartoon that said, if Jesus had just died 20 years ago, then all the little young Catholic boys and girls would be wearing little chairs around their necklaces and not crosses. This is a shocking contrast, right, between what we think about the cross and what the cross actually is. And this shocking contrast shows the depth, the power of the cross. Because the cross, as we all know, is ground zero for our faith and the font of all of God's wisdom, meaning we understand and know God through the cross. What? How can we understand or know about God through something akin to the death penalty, through capital punishment? Isn't that confusing? That doesn't make sense. This is why St. Paul starts his letter to the Corinthians by saying, the cross is foolishness. It's foolish. Especially when we try to compare it to the wisdom of the world. This is what St. Paul is getting after in the piece that Emily read for us today, because he's unlocking the true wisdom of God. We can turn to the great Jedi teacher Yoda to provide us with a little guidance on what St. Paul is trying to do. Do you remember that scene in The Empire Strikes Back when young Skywalker is training in the Dagobah system with Yoda in the ways of the Force, and you hear R2-D2 doing his little beep, 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 because his X-Wing fighter, Skywalker's X-Wing fighter, is starting to drift into the swamp. Remember that? And Luke comes over and says, I've got the Force, I can do this, and he begins to try to get the ship back out of the swamp, but he can't do it. And he's so frustrated at this point, he just says, there's no way you can really do this. In other words, this can't be the Jedi way, can't be the way of wisdom, can't be the way of power. But then Yoda tells Luke those words, which you've probably heard before, you must unlearn what you have learned. You must unlearn what you have learned. This is what St. Paul is telling us today in the Epistle to the Corinthians. Because when we think about wisdom, think about what pops into your mind. It's probably someone sitting under a tree in a really beautiful bucolic setting with Aristotle, and maybe has an ascot and a pipe, and they are waxing and waning in some sort of Socratic method with a few students, and they're just talking about life on a different plane. Or maybe it's more real for you when you think about wisdom and you think about a grandmother or a mentor, someone that you have gravitated towards for guidance or mentorship. These are people in general that have struck us with either an impressive resume, or they have just struck us by their sense of being. They seem wise to us. The actual definition in the dictionary is, wisdom is the quality of having experience, knowledge, and good judgment. In other words, the quality of being wise. Your characteristic is that you're wise. Yet St. Paul separates God's wisdom today from human wisdom, which I just described, precisely because the work of the cross is counter to the work and wisdom of the world. It's the opposite in many ways. The wisdom of the world is about forward movement. It's about accumulating more knowledge. It's about gaining more experience. Whereas the wisdom of God is found in capital punishment, which in other words means emptying and letting go of everything. No accumulation. Opening your hands and letting everything go. The wisdom of God is found through giving up, whereas the wisdom of the world is found through accumulation. So why does this matter? Why would St. Paul begin this letter to the Corinthians by describing so clearly the differences between God's wisdom and the wisdom of the world? Well, the collect that we read today from Thomas Cranmer opens our eyes to that great pitfall of wisdom, of the world's wisdom. We started with, Almighty God, you know that we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves. In other words, all of the wisdom in the world can't save us from ourselves. It doesn't work. So God had to defend us and save us from ourselves. And he didn't do this through more accumulation or even enhancement, but through giving up everything and letting go. In order to save your life, we must lose our lives, because we're unable to save our own lives. And so the only way through the world is the way of the cross. And this matters so greatly in our world, because the wisdom of God, because the depths of the cross never ends. When something is not predicated upon accumulation but giving up, it means that the depths of it is endless, because it's not predicated upon its last move or how much it won or how much it read or what it knows. Currently, in our country, and even in this county, we see an epidemic of epic proportions. You probably already know what I'm getting ready to talk about. This is the opioid crisis that's affecting everyone. Neighbors and friends and families from Boston to Boise. This crisis is ravaging our land. Time magazine has put together something called the Opioid Diaries. Its pictures and stories are heart-wrenching, and the stats will blow you away. For 2 years in a row, life expectancy has decreased in America, directly correlated to the opioid crisis. It's claimed more lives in the last year than the entirety of the Vietnam War. 52,000 Americans this year will die because of this crisis. Over 2 million Americans are currently either addicted to opioids or some sort of synthetic counterpart. Andrew Sullivan wrote a piece in the New York Magazine last month about this problem, and he talked about the wisdom of the world and how the wisdom of the world, especially in America, has tried to gather together to banish this problem, to destroy it, to prohibit it. Yet all of them have failed. The task forces and the notices have fallen short because, as Sullivan writes, this problem is deeper. Opioids are just one of the ways, Sullivan says, that Americans are trying to cope with an inhuman new world where everything is flat, where communication is virtual, and where those core elements of human happiness, faith, family, and community seem to elude so many. He goes on to say, until we resolve these deeper social, cultural, and psychological problems, until we discover a new meaning or reimagine our old religion or reinvent our way of life, the poppy, aka opioids, will flourish. The allure of the opiate's joy are filling a hole in the human heart and soul today. For all of the wisdom of the 21st century, in all of our advancements, we still remain, just as Cranmer wrote, unable to help ourselves. Unable to get ourselves out of this predicament and in need of something or someone to save us. In the same video from Time, in the same diary from Time, there are some videos. And one of the videos shows as clear as bell the gospel that we know about is the cross. It's a video of a sheriff's deputy who picks up drug users most every night. Yet time after time, he does not take these users to jail. Every time he picks up a drug user, he delivers him or her to a rehab facility and says, here's your chance. I'm here to help you. Go on in. He dethrones his authority as a cop and says, I just want to help you. Many times they don't take him up on the offer. But one time, and in this video, a young woman who'd been picked up by the same deputy 8 times in the last few months decides this time when they get to the clinic that I'm going to go in. She's now been clean for the last few months, and she is in the very beginnings of putting her life back together because of this deputy's unselfishness of giving up his authority, essentially giving up his job, to say, I'm just going to take this person and try to get him a little help. This is pure gospel. This is pure gospel from the cross of the giving up of authority and of power and of wisdom, of everything that we might say is right and wrong, just to love someone else and recognize that they are unable to help themselves and that they are stuck and that the only way out is through love and through grace. But the depth of the gospel extends even deeper than this. And this is the very, very good news for all of us today. Because sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes that deputy would drop off somebody and they wouldn't get clean. And they would even go so far as to die of an overdose. They are so bound up by sin or in the grip of an addiction through this disease that they couldn't get help. I remember once talking to the kids of an alcoholic who had drunk himself to death. And I asked him, how did they maintain a relationship with their dad over all those years? And they responded with this piercing insight. They said, If someone has stage 4 end of life cancer, the worst cancer disease you could ever imagine, you don't leave them alone, do you? And of course, the answer is no, you don't. And they didn't leave their dad alone, and they continued to visit him, even though he was slowly becoming more unresponsive. But they continued to love him, even until the end. And this is why what St. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, that nothing can separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. Not any evil, not any disease, not any hurt, not any pain. Nothing can separate us from the love of God found in Christ Jesus. And that is the depth of the cross. Amen.